I want to read this scripture from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and just read the first two verses. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. This was said when David was very old. He was probably in his final days. He lived to be 70 years old. And throughout human history, God has had basically four structures in which he desired to be worshipped. The first was the tabernacle that God commanded Moses and the children of Israel to build at Mount Sinai. That tabernacle was a big tent with a very big courtyard in the middle of the congregation of Israel. The second structure that God commanded to be built is the one that David's preparing for. He prepared the materials, and God blessed David in spite of all of his faults and failings and adventures and hardships. God blessed David by giving him the plans to this temple to pass on to his son Solomon. And he blessed David to acquire and collect much of the building material that would be needed for the temple. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, that temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar hundreds of years later in the siege of Jerusalem. And the children of Israel were in captivity for a 70-year period by the Babylonians. But at the end of that, Cyrus, the king of Persia, conquered Babylon and commanded the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. And they did just that. They came back to Jerusalem, and under the leadership of one of David's descendants named Zerubbabel, they rebuilt the temple. So that was the third structure. That temple was not as big or glorious as the one that Solomon built, but that was actually the temple that later on our Lord Jesus would enter into and cast out the money changers. So that was the third structure. That structure was actually destroyed by the Roman armies in 70 AD because of the rebellion of the people in that area. The Romans decided to just level the structure, and as a physical structure, it remains leveled today. But God himself has built the fourth temple, and that temple is made out of lively stones. It's a temple made out of people. The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The temple is made out of people who are lively stones built on that foundation. And then Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So the Lord Jesus Christ is both the support and strength, and he's the identification and glory of this temple. And it is manifested physically by the church. And one day it will consist of all of God's chosen people redeemed by the blood of Christ met together in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ as the one receiving the honor for the construction of that temple. So four structures that God has ordained to be worshipped in: the tabernacle, the temple of Solomon, the temple of Zerubbabel, and then the living temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my attention was on the metal that David mentioned. There are several materials. There were precious stones set in this temple, and there was wood. As a matter of fact, if you read the construction of the temple Solomon built, it was cut stones, and it mentions marble here, cut stones, and they were cut to such a degree of precision that they didn't have to have the sound of a tool in Jerusalem. They were made to fit together so well that when they brought them there to the building site in Jerusalem, the marble stones fit together. And then they lined the temple inside and outside with precious wood, like cedar. And then on top of that cedar, they hammered beaten gold. So it had the strength of stone and the warmth of the wood and the beauty of the gold all the way around the temple. It was quite a structure that ended up being built. So that was the reason for the precious stones and for some of the gold. I want to mention the other gold. And the marble and the wood that David mentioned. And he mentioned iron for the things of iron. Iron was primarily known for its as the greatest and strongest metal in use at the time. And I expect most of that was nails for putting the wood together that needed to be put together. But I want to mention the final three metals, the brass and the silver and the gold. The brass in the tabernacle of Moses and in the temple of David, the temple of Solomon, was used primarily what was mentioned explicitly in the Bible. The brass was used to make the big brass altar right as you entered the courtyard for the tabernacle and the temple. The first thing as you were coming in the outer walls into the courtyard was this big brazen altar was used to sacrifice bullocks and rams and goats and lambs and pigeons and turtle doves. It was used and it was made out of brass. Brass is a metal of endurance. It's actually an alloy. I think it's made out of copper and tin combined. I get it mixed up with bronze. One's copper and zinc and the other's copper and tin. But it's an alloy and it's a very enduring alloy. We used it a lot out at sea. A lot of the metal fittings on the ship where I lived were made out of brass. And if you walk aboard a sailboat today or something, you'll see that, a lot of the things that are made, because it resists corrosion. It may get a little greenish and stuff. You need to polish it, but it won't oxidize to a point of weakness. It's very resistant. And it's an alloy, two metals. Our Lord had two natures. By his own purpose, by his own agreement, Jesus Christ was, is, and ever will be the Son of God, equal to God. He created the universe. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. That everlasting, eternal Word of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he came to earth and was born in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he became a full-fledged human being. So not only was he the Son of God, he was the Son of Man. There was two natures. And the brass there had two metals there, the copper and tin, that made up the brass. It was very enduring. And the first application as you came toward the temple or toward the tabernacle was this brazen altar. It was a place of sacrifice. It had four horns. And I hope you can see it pointing to another four-pointed object that was an altar. And that's the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. He was the perfect sacrifice. And how was he offered? What priest offered him? Why, he suffered himself to be taken of wicked hands and slain. He was the high priest, and he was the sacrifice, and the cross was the altar. And so there, that brazen altar there, picture of the cross, it's a picture of the redemption of God's people. And as you walk past that brass altar, the next thing you came to was also made out of brass. In the tabernacle, it was called the laver, and the temple, it was big. It was big enough that the Bible calls it a molten sea. A huge brass basin on set on 12 molten images of oxen that were the basis for it. And that was where the priest got their water for the washing and things. It was a place for their washing. I hope you can see once the cross was complete and the Lord Jesus Christ won the victory of redemption for all his people, then he was buried. So the laver is a picture of baptism, the washing. And the baptism is a picture of the burial of Jesus Christ. So you have his death and his sacrifice, followed by his burial. And after those priests would wash, then they could come out of the laver, washed and clean. There's a picture of the resurrection. And they would enter into the first indoor portion of the temple there, called the holy place. And when you get to the holy place, then you start to see items of gold. But before I comment on the items of gold, I want to mention the items that were made out of silver. In the tabernacle, I know exactly what these were used for. They were used, and first, here's how they got the silver. Some of the silver came for whenever you numbered the children of Israel. You didn't just count them. You took a half shekel of silver from each Israelite. Then you numbered all the shekels of silver you had, multiplied by two, and that was the number of the Israelites. You were not to number Israel any other way. If you just counted the Israelites, you would be hit with a big plague. And that happened in David's life, near the end of his life. He decided just to have Israel numbered, and he did it without thinking about the scriptures, and a great plague smote Israel. There was only one way you were rightly supposed to number Israel. Take a half shekel of silver from everybody, poor and rich, multiply by two. You had the number of the Israelites. And they took silver and they made it into these sockets. And the sockets were used to set the boards of the tabernacle courtyard in. So they were used as sockets to define the outer wall of the tabernacle. And there were silver things there in the temple as well. And so silver, since that's the way you numbered Israel, God called it, the half shekel of silver, the ransom money. So the silver is the money of ransom. It's the metal of redemption. So what defined the perimeter of the place of worship were all of those that were ransomed, those that were redeemed. So the brass is this picture of the cross and its victory. And then the brass laver is a picture of the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the silver represents the extent of those that are redeemed and ransomed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But after the priest would come out of that laver and they were washed, they'd go into the holy place. And there in the holy place were items. The three items mentioned in the Old Testament are this. On one side, there was this table made of wood overlaid with gold, and the table had showbread on it. So it was bread inside the structure of the tabernacle. The other side, there was a lampstand made of gold with seven branches. And so you got in, and then there was a golden altar, little incense altar that was there. So once you got into the holy place, there was bread on a golden table, light on a golden candlestick, incense in a golden censer. What a picture of the church there. Enter in where God blesses his people to be fed by the gospel, to have the light of his word, to have the incense of praying for one another. What a beautiful picture. And there it is. You got brass as the metal of that endurance. You've got silver as the metal of redemption. Then you got gold, a picture of divinity. There's God's food and God's light and prayers unto the living God who listens. Gold is a metal that shows something of God's divinity. And at the back of the holy place, there was this veil of blue and purple and scarlet. They're showing the blue, the divine nature of Christ. The red, the human nature of Christ who shed his blood. And the purple, the royal nature of Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And nobody went through that veil except the high priest one time a year. With blood he went in, because in the holy place there was just one thing mentioned in the Old Testament. It was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a box made of wood, overlaid inside and outside with gold. And on the top of the ark was a mercy seat. On top of the mercy seat were two cherubims of gold looking toward each other. And the glory of God would appear from time to time over the mercy seat there between the two cherubim. So look at the picture there. Again, the gold depicting the divine nature of God. But the glory of God would be over the mercy seat, because us experiencing God's glory is based not on our works, not on our choices, but on God's mercy. As God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So God's glory unto us, to appear to us, is based on His mercy. But the mercy seat sat on the Ark of the Covenant, so His mercy is based on His everlasting covenant that He made with Himself. And so the high priest goes in once a year with blood, and there the glory of God, there the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ seated in glory. So the holiest of holies is that space. There's a picture of heaven. So you have a picture of the cross. You have a picture of the death and burial of our and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a picture of redemption of God's elect people. You got a picture of the light and the food and the prayers of the church. And then past the veil, you got a picture of heaven itself and that close communion and the presence of the Savior who had been the sacrifice but was victorious. Now is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the one we hope to see in glory one day, Jesus Christ. Let's pray and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, dear God, thank you for letting us meet today. Thank you for these loved ones that are gathered here. Thank you for those that are watching or listening to the messages today, this morning, Lord. We beg for revival. Dear Father, send laborers into your harvest. Open doors for the spread of the gospel. Give us your wisdom, Lord, from above. Give us your Holy Spirit. Help us to feel your nearness. Dear God, we have sinned. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And help us to walk in the paths of righteousness. Even as David said, Thou leadest me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Dear Father, help us to enjoy the living stone temple that you've given us today. But Lord, one day we hope to enter into the holiest of holies, into heaven itself, and see our Savior. So Father, help us to be faithful servants unto you and a help to one another until the day that you come and bring us home, or until the day that we depart the walks of life here and go into that greater life, that upper and better kingdom in your presence, in our spirits. Dear Father, we thank you for food, clothes, shelter, and the great hope in our Savior. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.